We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The beautiful, ornate home sat empty for years before it caught fire last May. The fire department suspects arson. It was purchased in 1950 by the man who many believe was the greatest pitcher in baseball history, Satchel Paige. It had 23 rooms, a big entryway, twin staircases leading upstairs. Tom Miller is Satchel Paige's grandson. He lived there as a small child.
And they had these glass doors made out of lead glass. They don't even make this type of stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. He's got red oak wood, you know, everywhere, these huge beams.
Bob Kendrick is president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
You could tell that it was a home befitting of someone, the stature of Satchel Paige, who was a star among stars.
It must have been a great place for entertaining. The game room was a kid's dream.
Pinball machines, baseball, bowling, pool, ping pong, shooting gallery, you name it, he had it.
But the history of the home comes from Satchel's friends. At a time when African Americans had trouble traveling and finding friendly accommodations, Tom says Satchel opened his doors for a who's who of entertainment and sports celebrities.
Josh Gibson would stay there, all the other people. And then a lot of folks like that didn't play baseball would stay there as well. Louis Armstrong would stay there when in the town. Billie Holiday would stay. Duke Ellington would stay when in town. Count Basie would stay when in town.
And don't forget Sugar Ray Robinson, perhaps the greatest boxer ever. The home was bought at a time when many of Kansas City's neighborhoods had covenants that disallowed selling homes to blacks. A lot of white neighbors were very unfriendly. So at a time when even the major leagues didn't pay that well, how did Satchel pay for such a place? Bob Kendrick says players of that era would earn extra money on barnstorming tours, making appearances, playing winter ball in Cuba. And despite a lack of formal education, Satchel was a brilliant businessman.
And so he was very savvy and negotiated a percentage of the gate. But yeah, you would extend that work year by going to Latin America, to other places, but he worked year round.
Sometimes players would make more money in a few weeks than they made all season, like in 1946, when Satchel assembled an all-star team to play against a similar team headed by Cleveland's Bob Feller. Bob says the Monarchs' Buck O'Neill played first base.
Buck says he was making so much money that his wife thought he was stealing.
Those games outdrew the World Series. Tom says even as an old man, work kept Satchel away from home a lot.
Speaking with other teams, other schools, a lot of lectures. Granddaddy was probably in town maybe 4 months out of the year. The rest of the time, he's always on the road.
Satchel was a natural marketer, knowing people would pay to see his incredible skill on the mound. Coming up, we'll talk about how the world-famous pitcher developed the legend that allowed the purchase of Satchel's house.
You know, we talk about a guy who pitched in over 2,600 games, recorded some 55 no-hitters and only God knows how many strikeouts.
Mark Lavoie, News 98.1 KMBZ. Satchel Paige's home was beautiful in its day, but it sat empty for a long time. Then last year, a suspicious fire. Tom Miller is Satchel's grandson, and he knows the place well.
Lived in his home up until about 12 years old, and so I knew him up until 1982. I was a junior in high school when he passed away.
Tom stopped by recently.
Sad to see that house because it should be a landmark.
Satchel's amazing right arm and his natural business acumen paid for the huge home that he opened up for his friends when they were in town. During segregation, it was hard for African Americans to find decent places to stay. Satchel's guests included jazz legends like Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and Billie Holiday, the great boxer Sugar Ray Robinson, too. Satchel's arm was developed out of necessity growing up in segregated Mobile, Alabama.
They had to hunt for food. Well, my granddad wasn't old enough to carry a rifle, so he carried a sack of rocks. And turns out he was a better hunter than his dad with the rocks. Yeah. He killed more squirrels, pigeons, whatever they could eat.
That right arm and those rocks were used for self-defense, like when some white kids threatened to kill young Leroy Paige, who was maybe 12.
They chased him. He ran into a cornfield, but he had a sack of rocks there. So when they chased him into the cornfield, he ambushed him with the rocks.
That incident landed the youngster in reform school, prison, basically, where he was first handed a baseball. Tom says they kept his grandfather past his release date so they could win more inter-prison championships. That led to the pro career that made him a star. Bob Kendrick is president of the Negro League's Baseball Museum.
Satchel was completely dedicated to his craft and also dedicated to the entertainment value that came along with being Satchel Paige.
So how did Leroy Paige come to be known as Satchel? Before baseball took off, Tom says his grandfather was a porter on the railroad carrying bags or satchels. Leroy improvised with a broomstick.
And he put it across his shoulders so he could carry more bags than most of the other bad guys could.
Satchel's last appearance against major leaguers was in 1965. He was pushing 60, maybe much older, when he pitched 3 shutout innings for the Kansas City A's against the Red Sox.
Here he is at 59. He's still hitting 86, 87, and the guys are going back to the dugout in utter disbelief that they could not hit this old man.
Born in the mid-60s, Tom remembers his grandfather as an older man just in the neighborhood. There were almost daily fishing trips in, no kidding, a gold Cadillac Fleetwood given to Satchel by a fan, Elvis Presley.
The trunk of the car would be full of fish every day because that was really his favorite pastime. My grandmother would always say, Elvis would kill you if he knew you was fishing in his beautiful car.
And opening the house to his traveling friends was a natural decision for Satchel.
I never really heard him say anything about civil rights and what so have you. He just was glad to have somewhere to accommodate these people. He felt blessed that he could do that.
Tom remembers in 1982 when Satchel, in poor health, attended the naming ceremony in his honor for the baseball field at East 51st and Indiana Avenue.
Very, very moved and proud. He was in a wheelchair. He was hooked up to oxygen. That was a happy time.
The old man died maybe a week later. That's when Tom and the other grandkids really got a notion of who Satchel was and what he meant to others.
And all these different celebrities, phone calls, what so have you, the world media showing up. He was just granddaddy to us.
And you know, Satchel's legacy is not lost on Bob Kendrick, nor is the history of that house near 28th and Prospect.
There will never, ever, ever be another Leroy Satchel Paige.
Mark LaVoy, News 98.1 KMBZ.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.